of us. He loves us and cares about us. He wants the absolute best for us. He said, I would that none perish, but all come to know me. So that in itself is amazing, how God extends his self to us. Last night in Torah portion, we looked at the life of Balaam and how God extended grace to Balaam. It was justifiable for God to have him slain in the path, but he gave him grace. We see later on that he ultimately, at the end, he was slain by the sword. It's kind of a sad story. But how many know that before anything happens, God will do everything, anything and everything he can do, but he won't compromise what he says. He won't compromise anything he says, but he'll do everything he can to give us opportunity to do right by him. And that's what Balaam's, the whole story of Balaam was, he said, I'm going to let you do right. So every time he, in his heart, wanted to curse the children of Israel, God would prophesy the blessings on him. And he'd tell him, you got to say it. And he'd say it. And Balak was frustrated with him. Every time I open my mouth to curse God's people, he tells me to bless them. So I want you to know that's the God that we serve. Is he for us? Yes, he's for us. If he'd be against us, he'd have left our transgressions and iniquities and our trespass against him before us. We wouldn't be able to see past that. Now, God won't do it, but we can do it. Let me tell you, the greatest hindrance of worship is when you focus on what's been wrong and rather than what's right. Because it's in front of you. And every time you try to push through, you can't get through because you got what's in front of you blocking that. Well, you got to give all that to the Lord. You got to cast all your cares on him. That way you'll have a clear breakthrough. Now you say, well, I don't deserve a breakthrough. Well, you let God decide that. The devil will make you lie to yourself. If he said he loves you, then he loves you. If he cares about you, that's what he does. He cares about you. The enemy will make you think he don't. He don't care about you. He does. And so you believe that he don't care, and so it's hard to break through. It's hard to push through. And then what you're pushing through is not the atmosphere of everybody else. You're pushing through the veil of humanity, the veil that, and that's why he said the natural man can't know the things of God. They just won't know it. What do we have to do? We have to spiritually seek the Lord from a spiritual standpoint, because he's the only one who can reveal himself to us. And so we have a lot to talk about today, because we're going to be transitioning from where we are and have been into something different starting next Sunday. So I've been dealing with this particular subject on revealing the kingdom of God. And we've been talking about commitment, because you have to be committed to the kingdom. You can't just know about it. Know it, because a lot of people know. How many of you know that the enemy, the adversary, knows about the kingdom of God? Knows exactly what the kingdom is. That's why there's a copy of bringing that kingdom to pass. That's called, let me tell you what it's called. It's called one world order. One world order. That's what the world has been going to ever since the days of Jesus. They've been after trying to get one world order, one world religion. And I can tell you, in that one world religion, God is nowhere to be found. There's nowhere to find Yahweh in it. So the enemy knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. He doesn't want you to know. He wants you to think that all this stuff doesn't make any sense, but it does. Every bit of it does. It makes all the sense. Because the enemy knows that if he can keep us not focused on the kingdom of God, that we should anticipate. How many right now, on a daily basis, you feel like you just want the kingdom to come right now? Well, there's a reason if you don't feel that way, you feel that way. There's a reason if you don't feel like you want the kingdom to come right now, there's a reason you feel that way. One is, well, there's two reasons, really. One is good, and the other one is telling on us. One is because you don't want to see anybody lose out. That's the good one. The other one is, I'm not ready. That's telling on us. But he says to pray for it to come. He says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, how many of you know before the kingdom comes, there's going to be tribulation? He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So the overcomer, or the price payer for this age that we live in, has been finished. It was finished at Calvary. So we don't have to have a Messiah come to redeem us from the curse that's in this age. That's been done already. We have to accept that leadership. Who accepts Christ as your rabbi? He's the one you look to. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one that's going to give you strength, encouragement. He's the one that's going to be with you when nobody else is. He'll be right there. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. If you accept Christ as your rabbi, as your leader, and you're going to do what he wants you to do, you're going to be fine when it comes to being ready for the kingdom, because he wouldn't do anything other than prepare you for the kingdom. That's what he's going to do, prepare you. That's why we have the book of Revelations. That's why we have that book, because he says, I'm going to prepare you. So the word goes forth to the seven churches, which is in Asia. And all of those churches, each one, have significant meaning. And very important. And so I said this morning, we were talking about this, that we're going to start next Sunday, and we're going to start back in Genesis again. And our goal is to go through the entirety of Scripture, bringing out all the high points of what it's going to take in order for us to be ready to embrace the kingdom of God, or to know it when it comes, to understand it so you're not fooled. Because there's going to be a power, there's going to be a leader that's going to come, but it won't be Yeshua, it'll be something else. And we have to be ready. We got to know the difference. So if I asked anyone in here, if I asked you, I come to you and I asked you, tell me what the difference is going to be. How are you going to be able to tell? You ought to be able to articulate that. You ought to be able to go to Scripture and say, you know what, this says here, this is what we need to watch for. If we can't do that, should we not be, with a little urgency, trying to find that out? I think we should. It's very important that we understand that. So we're going to take that on starting next Sunday. I believe, did I stop? There we go. We stopped here on 490, slide 490, so we some over 500 slides in this one, so I'm going to pause. I'm going to hit pause button. We'll come back and look at it at a later time, because you can't cover it all. It's impossible for me to cover every aspect of how incredible the kingdom of God is. But hopefully you're seeing this. Now, we've been dealing with commitment to the kingdom, being committed to it, to being committed to that purpose and plan that God has laid out for us. And so number three is the one we're on. We covered a couple of others leading up to this, and we don't have time to review it, so you could get it and listen to it. But number three says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. So we've been in Romans 12:1, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, by God's mercy, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Now, what did we say about that? Can you present yourself without your body? Can you present yourself? That's why it's an all-inclusive statement. You, when you present your body, you present all of you, not some of you. That's why it's impossible to say to somebody, I was there in spirit. You might have wanted to be there, but you were not there. It might have been something that was deep on you, and you felt it, and you said, man, I feel it. But still, you weren't there. Remember that. That's why he says this. Present your bodies. A what? Living sacrifice. So you present yourself to the Lord. This is what you want. How many want it easier than what it has been? Well, how does it get easier? The more we give. The more we give of ourselves to the Lord, the easier it gets. It's not a difficult thing. The more we give. I can tell you. Let me just say this, carefully say it. We have not. Everybody say have not. Entered into that great tribulation time yet. We haven't entered that. If it's difficult now, how difficult will it be when you're really put under the fire and attack of the enemy to whether or not your faith is really what you somebody said, well, I believe, I'm a Christian. Well, can you imagine what was going through the early apostles and the disciples when they would pick them up and they would impale them through with a rod? And all they had to do was say, Christ is not real. That's it. Because that's what they were. They weren't after them. They could care less about the people, their children. They didn't care about them. They were trying to discredit what Christ did. To discredit what Christ did. So what would you do? Would you say, well, yeah, he's not. He's not real. What I said about him, he's not real. Because you remember Peter's situation? The little girl comes there and says, you're one of them. He said, I'm not. Why was he afraid? Why was he afraid to count himself as a disciple? What was he afraid of? Because they were putting him to death. Those guys were dying. And he wasn't ready to die for the cause. Now, later on in his life, he became that person that God ultimately expected of him. Because he knew that dying in this life was not anything compared to what was to come. Paul put it this way. He said these light afflictions, called them light afflictions. There's been weeks in your life that you would have never used the word light afflictions. You felt like all hell's come against me. They're not light. I'm going through it. I'm being tested from every side. When I think about what these men and women of faith did, it's incredible what they stood for. Now, how many know that he says that our faith is going to be tried? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith. Now, it works in us. It's not to hurt us. It's not to trick us into believing or thinking that he bailed out on us. And you got to see it for that. You got to see that I'm being tried. Now, the victor comes out through the trial. Meaning this, no matter what you face, you're going to still praise him. Doesn't matter what's told to you. Now, let me tell you, that's not easy. We can say it's easy from the outside. The last song we sang, if you look at it on the YouTube and look up Jason Davis, you'll see this. This guy had a credible testimony. His testimony was, you know, he writes this song, and then he wonders who he wrote it for, and then later on he gets diagnosed with cancer, and the cancer that he had was leaking this chemical through his body that basically destroyed his bone structure, his muscles, all of that. And he was useless. So they put him under heavy treatment. He recovers somewhat. Then he comes back again. This time, it attacks his speech, his sight. The doctors are telling him, listen, you probably won't walk again. You probably won't talk again. You probably won't see again. Yet he stands there and he says, I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm jumping. How is that possible? Because he took this song as his anthem. Thank God that God gave him that song ahead of time. Yeah. So let me tell you, there's something that God is trying to give us ahead of time before we get in this storm that we're in. Before we face the struggles that we face. Can you look back in your life and honestly say, you know, there was some things God was trying to get to me, but I never got that because I didn't get it. Now, you think it's going to be difficult? You think maybe without that song, it would have been more difficult for him to get through what he was going through? God's not going to put you in anything before he hasn't already made a way for you to escape. Because if he does that, that means that he is not a good God at all. He's already given you something. It might have been one verse of scripture or something that he led you to do. That's why it's important to respond to the things of God. Respond in the time, moments. It's so important because you don't know what's coming tomorrow. Nobody in this building knows. You might have an idea what you want, but you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. You have no idea. Do you know that it's very possible by tomorrow that somebody that you love dearly can be dead? Do you understand? Do we even think of those things? It's a possibility. It's very possible. Do you realize by tomorrow you can get the worst news you ever heard in your life? It's very possible. We don't know that. That's why he says, don't put off today what you're able to do. Because we don't know about tomorrow. We hope in tomorrow. We even plan. We got stuff on our calendar that goes past today. How many's got something on your calendar that goes past today that you're hoping to get to? But we don't know that. The Lord be willing, we'll reach those dates. We plan ahead and we reach those. The Lord began to deal with me this week about this. And it's this simple fact. What if we're the generation, this generation, and I want you to think about this, especially moms and dads. I want you to think about it, because while we're in this building, your children are out in the, and they're being taught the things of God in a lower setting, a smaller setting, where they can understand it. I want you to think about it. They're not the one responsible for this generation. We are. Right here. This generation, we're responsible. Do you realize? This is what the Lord began to deal with me this week. Do you realize you and I could be the generation that sees the coming of Messiah? You sitting here. Now, I couldn't say this 30 years ago. But I'm saying to you, do you realize this? That this generation, now I've seen more and more prophets, more and more people that are coming out and they're making just this statement that the Lord showed them clear that they'll be the generation that will bring in the second coming of Messiah. They'll be alive and see it with their own eyes. How many of you know that that is a very, very, very strong possibility to you that are hearing me today? Okay? With that being said, in order for that to happen, there has to be a tribulation time before that. Because he said immediately after the tribulation in Matthew 24. Immediately after. So my thing is are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we doing what we need to do, understanding what we need to understand as far as Scripture, to be that generation? How many, if you knew for a fact, you knew for a fact, without a doubt, you knew for a fact that this year would be the beginning of that time to start, the first 3.5 years, how many here would change some of your plans, do things different? If you knew for a fact, you would do things different. Hopefully we all would. We would all make some changes. But see, we don't know that to be a fact. That's why he says to be ready. He says to be ready. Be ready. Be watchful. Because he said, I want you to. So he gives us a pattern, as it were, for us to look at in the Scripture. And we're to follow that annually. Every year we're to follow that same pattern. That way, no matter what year it is, we're ready. Doesn't matter what year it is. I can tell you, I strongly, strongly, strongly agree with everything that I'm seeing and witnessing that we are the generation that will see that time come. That should excite people. And what I'm seeing is it doesn't. It worries people. People are more worried than excited. And so we have to understand, you know, some people would say this, well, you know, it's not fair. I want my children to grow up. You have no idea what you're asking God for. We'll grow up in what? How many understand what this condition of this world can be in the next 10 years? You want them to grow up in that? Or would you rather him come and reinstate his rule and government and then have your children grow up in that harmony and that peace? It's not like it's over. People think, and listen, you got to be careful because you'll love this life more than you love and hope for the one to come. That's, you got to be very, because life can, you know, even though life can hand you some bad days, overall, we start liking this life. We start really liking everything that's going on. And let me tell you, that's not the answer. This is not why we come. This is not why we said we're going to serve the Lord. Remember, we didn't sign up so we could feel better, so we can socially interact. That's not, we said, we believe that the world system is wrong and God's system is right. That's our hope. And we believe that he will restore back to its original creation when God designed it in the beginning. And that's our hope. That's what we're hoping for. Because the rest of it, no matter what you do, no matter how intense you want the service to be, it only lasts for a little moment, then it kind of goes away and you're ready for the next one. But when this goes and you sleep on this and it won't leave you, you get woke up in the night. When you get up in the morning, you're thinking about it. When you go to bed at night, you're thinking about it. No matter what you're doing throughout the day, you're thinking about it. You just keep thinking about it, and you keep thinking about it. And you know, in some places, what I'm telling you today, they would say, you know what, Pastor, you need to calm down, and you're getting a little overboard with this. Well, let me tell you something. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about him coming. And I can look back in my life, and there was weeks, months, even years that I didn't really intensely think about. I might have brushed across my mind, but that's about it. There's a reason for that. It's not that I can't do things or want to do things. I want to do things, and listen to this, I can do those things if I chose to do them. I'm not restricted about doing those things. Meaning is, if I wanted to, I have the money to go do it. If I wanted to. But listen, I'm losing that sense of wanting to do those things because of my anticipation and my hunger for the fact that none of that really matters, because we want him to come and set that rule and regulation. But I know before he does, things are going to change, and they're going to change in a big way. And I want to be ready. I don't want to think I'm ready. I want to be ready. And so what do I have to do? I have to be committed. I have to offer myself as a living sacrifice. Well, let's see. Chapter 12 starts with the word therefore. There's a critical, there is a casual relationship to the preceding verses. It is because Elohim is so incomparably great beyond our capacity to understand or imagine, and because all things belong to Elohim and all controlled by Elohim, that we should offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, I want you to think about that, because it seems like, why would I have to offer it if he already has me? Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. Where he speaks of offering our body, I think what Elohim really wants is an offering of our whole self, of everything. We can't really offer him our body without offering our mind, will, emotion, and spirit, because they go together. They go together. You got to get, and that's all things, everything. Because let me tell you, the enemy, the number one thing he does is he takes the mind of people, and people get captivated in their mind. That's why everything you see as far as advertisement, movies, television, whatever you see out there, songs, it's all to get the mind under control. It's a mind control. Our schools is under that same system. That's why we ought to read. Let me just say this. That's why every parent in here I beg of you to pray and seek the Lord concerning your children and what education you believe God wants for them to have. And I shouldn't have to say any more about that. I beg of you to do it. Don't go, don't come ask me, well, what you think? It doesn't matter what I think, because what I tell you is going to be very hard for you to accept. But you ask God, and you deal with what God tells you, and whether you're going to be obedient to Him. I can tell you, there's got to be some change, because the mind is under attack. And if you don't think that you're brainwashed, you're kidding yourself. We've all been brainwashed. We have been led to believe something that God never intended for us to know. And we how many thank God you're breaking free from that system? You got to break free from it, because let me tell you, it's exactly what has happened in the attack. That's why you got to present your bodies a living sacrifice, and you can't separate them. So somebody, listen, if you want your emotions touched, you can get that. I remember I heard Chad was talking about a testimony. He said years ago, and I just overheard him. He wasn't talking to me directly, but I know he was talking to somebody else. And he's talking about what happened to him. He come to get his emotional wrecked life fixed. And his emotionally wrecked marriage fixed. But God had a different plan. He said, I don't want to fix your emotionally wrecked life. I want to change your mind. Because if I heal your emotions, you're going to go back out with that same mind, and you're going to come back again a week from now, and you'll still be emotionally wrecked. I got to get your mind thinking different. You've been brainwashed to think you can live that life and put all that junk in you, and everything's just going to be sweet as pie in the home. It'll never happen. The movies make you think that. She's coming back. He's coming back. They're not coming back. You've been led to believe that. That's why he said, present your body a living sacrifice. You got to have everything. The mind, the will, and the emotion and spirit, they all go together. The devil wants you to believe you can separate them. Even the church thinks you separate them. You separate them. When you die, you don't really die. Because you can separate it. You separate it from death. The Bible doesn't say that, but we've been led to believe that. How many at one time in your life you believed just that? You didn't search out to believe that. You didn't wake up one morning, I'm going to really get myself really messed up here. Today, I'm going to... No, it was just fed to you a little bit at a time. That's exactly what's happened in the public school system. How many here believe that your children publicly have to be educated? How many really believe that? Let me tell you, if I'd have thought that this is what I would say this morning, I'd have found something, scripture or something. I'm just telling you what the Lord's bringing to me right now, how critical this time we're in. Somebody got to stop the brainwashing nonsense, and it's going to start with mom and dad saying, you know what, I don't care what people think, this is a big joke we've been living in, and I don't want to keep doing the nonsense that's been going on. I don't want to be a part of it. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe, that you can't do anything. You can. You know what? We talk about God's people coming together. We got enough power in this house right here alone. If we all came together, not worrying about who's first or who's last, but put all our resources and pulled all of our understanding together and the love that we have for one another, there's absolutely nothing we can't do on this peninsula to have our children to understand and know the truth that will ultimately set them free. Nothing. We're not held back. There's no restriction. People say, man, we need this, we need that. All we need is people who will agree. That's what we need. And it's not, listen, We can say, well, I'm just going to hope for the best. It's not going away. Every day it's coming closer and closer. We are the generation, listen to me careful, we are the generation that's going to usher in the second coming. We're it. Are we ready for what happens before he comes? Because there is no secret snatching away. You ain't going to be here. You don't have to worry about it. There's going to be some struggles and troubles that we're going to face. And if we can't get over the stuff that the essential things of life that drag us down, and the one thing he says to get over that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. How many trust God? Let me tell you, how many really trust God that God will provide for you? You really trust God? Because let me tell you, you're going to need to trust God that he provides, because there's going to be a world system that's going to be set up that's going to give you everything you want. Everything. They're going to give you the best of everything. And they're going to lead you to believe that there's nobody can do it better for you. And you know what God's trying to teach us? Trust me. I know everybody, you might feel like you ain't got it, but you trust me. How many really look to him for everything? How many believe that he'll take care of you no matter what? How many really trust him? How many here, if God says, I want you to go down to the brook, and I want you to be patient, you go down to the brook. Cherith, I'm going to take care of you. Let me tell you, I take some faith to do that. When there's a famine in the land, and you're trying to get through it, he sends you down to a brook. And what does he do? The Lord said he commanded the ravens to feed him. Then the brook dries up. That'll get on your faith right there. That'll really challenge you. Now you know that you can't go nowhere else. But he says, I'm going to take care of you, and then the brook dries up. That challenges your faith. It really does. But then God will move you and direct you. How many really trust him that way, that if he says go, you know it's the voice of God? If he says stop, you know it's the voice of God. At that particular time, there's not going to be any time for, oh, I need to pray about that. You're going to have to know. So who here, you really going to be able to tell the difference? Between what's real and what's not real. Who can really tell the difference between what's real and not real? So remember, what is he trying to change? The mind. What does the devil control? The mind. He controls the mind. You under mind control and been under mind control. I can do a test on anybody here. Anybody here, I can put you under a test, and you'll fail it every single time where you haven't been under some sort of mind control. You're led to believe something, but you know nothing about it. You're just led to believe it. You never once asked God, never once seen anything that remotely teaches you that that's correct or not correct. You just do it. How many understand that? Number four, be transformed by renewing your mind. So 12:2 says, and be not conformed. Be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the system. It's a system that's in place. Be not. How many believe the word of God is true? How many believe the word of God is what we should follow if we're believers? What system do we follow? Let me tell you, you think this breakout is going to be easy? You think getting off this stuff is going to be easy? It's not going to be easy. And let me tell you some of the first things you're going to say. Man, we ain't going to be able to do nothing. Let me tell you, you won't want to do nothing when this time comes. Besides, make it. You know what I mean? Looking for them. You're going to try to make it today. Do you realize in your lifetime there could be a time that comes where you got to just make it today? Well, that ain't fair. I don't want that. God, listen, you ought to be honored. We all ought to be honored that we'd be the generation that the return of Christ comes in. That ought to be an honor. You say, well, I ought to love to live in a different generation. Well, just think about it if you would have. You'd be dead right now. But you're alive. You're in this generation. You don't want to be in that generation. They died. They did whatever they was responsible to do in that generation. But the generation that with their own eyes see him return, to me, that is supernatural, incredible blessings that God would allow us to be that generation. How many here believe that it's going to just be 100 years? There's no way he can come back. It'll be 100 years. How many know if I say that, say it'll be 100 years, that that don't match the scripture? That would mean the word of God is wrong. It can't be 100 years. Because it wouldn't match the text. If you read the text, it says that we're here. We're right there. Nope, and that's scary. We almost want to not read. Because you know we are so attached that we don't even know how it's going to be. And so we have all these things that's not answered. Let me tell you, the best thing for your children would be for Christ to return. The absolute best. Because we're living in a time that the deception is so crazy that it's absolutely appalling for me to even mention some of the things that's allowed in our society today, and they're counted as it's what happens now. If you'd have done this years ago when we were kids, people would have looked at you like you have lost your mind. Now it's acceptable. It's appalling what's acceptable in the church. You know what? There's not an issue with having people come to church.
That's right.
That's no issue. If I want to compromise the text, I can have people come to church. All I got to do is preach real easy and make everybody think everything's great. But that would be a lie, because it's not great and it's not easy. And there's some change that we got to happen, and we got to break away. Because if we don't, we'll get ourselves in trouble. Remember what Balaam did? He showed Balak how to entice them to eat food sacrificed to idols and being caught up in sexual immorality. He said, if you do that, God will reject them, because he has no choice but to. God ain't going to be wrapped up in that. So how can a church ordain somebody who's homosexual and God be in it? Somebody explain that to me. This is now open discussion, and I'm not kidding. And I want chapter and verse. Somebody explain to me how that's possible. Come on. Chapter and verse. Because this is what we do. We defend it. And we say, but you don't know. I do know. Don't tell me I don't know. I do know. I committed my entire life to studying the scripture. I do know that God says that he's not in that. Yet, it still said church on the board. The sign and the marquee still blinks. Church, come. Experience the love of Jesus. Now, be careful, because you'll be brainwashed and think that's okay. And they're doing it by the millions. But he says here, be not conformed to this world. But, tells us what to do. He doesn't just say what not to do. He says, but be ye transformed. How many see that? Be ye transformed by renewing your mind. The word there is metamorpho. Metamorphosis, where we get the word metamorphosis. It's what happens to the caterpillar and the butterfly. How many have ever looked at the butterfly and said, wow, it's a beautiful caterpillar? You don't do that. You go to the butterfly exhibit and you go, wow. And we went to several of them. I mean, they land on you and you go, wow, it's a beautiful caterpillar. I love caterpillars. No, we don't say that. What most people do. Men, something, you know, I kind of go like that with a caterpillar. I don't definitely going to go pick them up. I know some people go, oh, I don't do that. I don't like them. But most women go, oh! But the butterfly. Why does she change? Why does the person change? What's the difference? The caterpillar goes in the cocoon? Do we secretly, when nobody's looking, cut a hole in it, yank the caterpillar out and stick a butterfly in there? No, it's the same creature. But something happened to it. The metamorpho, the transformation takes place. Do you understand that it's something that you're going to notice? It's something that you're going to see. It's going to be so different, it almost is mind-blowing. You go, wow. But we want to go and hook up with God, and there's no change. There's nothing different. We praise Him on Sunday, but we think the system of the world is the better thing. And so what we do, we bring up our children early in the morning, put cornflakes in their belly, and send them off to a system that God doesn't approve of. Now you take the whole thing I'm saying up with God, because this was the furthest thing from my mind this week. I would have not even thought of it this week. But I can't read this and deny what the Spirit of God says about this. That we need to hear. That's what we do. We use the words Yeshua. We use the word Yahweh. We don't do Christmas. We don't do Easter. We're getting there. But we keep doing other things. And He says, be not conformed to that system. Then this is what we do. This is what we do. Because we don't have answers. We say, we don't know what to do. How are we going to handle this? Let me tell you what you do. That's when God's people get together. We are so socially connected that we're disconnected when it comes to the things of God. We don't use anything for our benefit. So don't tell me you can't hook up. We got it right at our fingertips, right here. We can conversate. We can exchange information. We can do all those things. Why? Because we're running out of time. This is serious business. If we're the generation that ushers Him in, this is serious. Let me tell you when you're really going to get serious. Let me just say this. When World War III breaks out. Not if, when. You think maybe your attitude will change a little bit? It's going to be a mad scramble. And you don't want to be the silly people scrambling, because that's the people who die first. You want to have wisdom and understanding and go, God, because I'm going to tell you, every single time I try to plan beyond, out somewhere in the distant future of my life, I got this feeling on the inside that He keeps telling me, you won't need that. You ain't going to need that at all. And I've tried over and over, and it's not that I don't have the means to do it. I can't. But God says, you won't need that. What you need to do is focus on My word, and you need to prepare the people and be ready. Think about it. Degeneration to bring in the Messiah. What does that do to you when you hear that? Does it make you feel in any way that you don't want it? If it does, that's the stuff we have to work on. Because you ought to want it with everything that's in you. Let me tell you, I love enjoying myself. I like going places and doing things. But there's nothing that excites me more than the fact that I'm the generation that can bring in the Messiah. Nothing. And let me tell you, you think life's going to change? You better believe it. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night this week. And I've been going over stuff and just mulling over this stuff over and over and over and over again. I went back and I was looking at Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I started looking at them verses and saying, God, this is absolutely amazing. And I want you to think about this. He said, the Lord woke me up and he said, I want you to understand this. There's going to be a time where what you do won't matter. And meaning what I do for income. He said, you'll leave it all. There'll be no need for it. The reason I do it is there's a need for it. How many know what that need is? Is there anybody in here besides me that knows that you need finances in order for you to kind of do what you do? You know, they don't give stuff away. You buy it. How many like eating after church? Isn't there something about after church meals different than the rest of the meals? After church meal, you know, I just want to. Some of you have been thinking about that since I started. But it's something about it. You want to eat. Cost to do that. Cost. Anywhere you go, it costs. So you got to make money. There's going to be a time where none of that will matter. You're not going to be in that survive mode where you have to make and then you go and buy. You're going to be in a time because the system's going to change. The scripture says that there'll be no buying nor selling. Buying nor selling. So where do we fit in the no buying and no selling? We're going to look toward Yahweh, and he's going to make a way where there seemeth to be none. He's going to provide everything for you. And that's why we ought to be practicing now on how to be patient and wait on him to supply our every need. We ought to be patient in that. And let me tell you, it's going to be incredible. Now, but be ye transformed, go through the metamorphosis by the renewing of your mind, that ye, this is what happens when that happens, you may be, that ye may prove. I mean, you know, we got to prove things. How many things? What Thessalonians says? Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. How many things we got to prove? All right? How many? Some of you started doing this. Look at what's going on. Understand that there's things that you're going to be actively doing right now. How many's taking a look at certain things? You said, that don't prove out in the scripture. We're not doing it. That don't prove out in the scripture. We're not doing it. You said, we won't have nothing to do. I'm telling you, you got to extend yourself beyond you. Extend yourself beyond the little world we live in. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot out there that you can take part in and be actively involved in that is beneficial to you and your family. And it's very resourceful and very helpful. And it doesn't go against Yahweh. That's what's important. If you don't start now, you won't be in a position to do it when handouts come. And let me tell you what we like. Handouts. Why? It's easy. If I started two lines we start. In the one line, we're going to give you $100, but you're going to have to work 8 hours. Line up. And we start the other line on this side. We're going to give $100, and all you got to do is come up and get it. Which line you think is going to fill up fastest? I'm just talking about real stuff here. Which one you think is going to fill up fastest? Well, let me tell you what the enemy is going to do. He said, we're going to give you everything. We're going to give you the best education. We're going to give you all the food you need. But all you got to do is be marked. Now, I know everybody's looking for some mark, some emblem, some injection. That may come at some point. But I'm going to tell you, some people are already marked. That's what bothers me to no end. Because we won't free ourselves. And it bothers me. I can't tell you the nights that I stay up. It bothers me because we're marked. We're marked by that system. We're marked by that ideology. And we won't go back to the Word of God and trust Him that He can do it. We don't trust God. We don't trust that He'll make a way. He'll give us the understanding, the wisdom to do the right thing. We're still marked by that system. And we can't. That's what Balaam did. He says, listen, if you get God's people to mark themselves by that system, he said, God will reject them. If he rejected them, who in the world do we think we are? Yeah. Who do we think we are that God's going to give me a free pass? Really? We have to unmark ourselves. We can't be marked by that system. We can't get in that system. You know what line I want to get in? In this line, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to read your Bible. That's what you got to do. That's the 8 hours of work. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to fast. You got to attend church. You understand my point? But over here, the devil says, you know what he says? You don't have to do anything. We got it all figured out for you. It's all figured out. You don't have to worry about anything. We'll educate your children. Don't worry about it. We're going to tell you what hospital you got to go to. We're going to pick your doctor for you. You get my point? We're going to do everything for you. We're going to tell you what you really should eat. The doctor's going to tell you. The average age of a doctor is 57 years old. Who wants to listen to him? We'll tell you what to eat. What's the best diet for you? We're going to tell you all this wonderful stuff. We're going to tell you, this is what you need to do. You need to buy this kind of house. You need to have this kind of car. This is what you need to do. Just listen to us. We got all the answers. You're marked. I don't want that mark. You're going to be an oddball. You're going to be named in the crazy bunch. You're going to be the people that don't know what they're talking about. Why do you want to always go off and do something different? Let me tell you why. Because God is different. He's not like the rest of the gods. Name one of those gods that ever give a son. Name one of them who give everything. No, but he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He deserves that praise. He deserves that distinction. He deserves his people to unmark themselves from this system and say, I'm going to serve God. Be ye transformed by renewing your mind that you may prove what is good. You can't prove what's good if you haven't been transformed. It's impossible. You don't know. So, well, the way I see it, this is good for me. You can't do it. I know you think you, listen, we think you can't do it until you're transformed. We're talking about what we know is best for our kids. How is that possible? You haven't chose what's best for them. You followed a system that somebody picked for you. We told them that's what they need to do. That's what we said. Let me give you a good example. I think about this all the time. We tell our children they're going to get old enough and they're going to go to school. Years ago, they didn't have any pre-K. How many know that they never had that? They had to get so old and they went to what? Kindergarten. They went to kindergarten. Now we get them in there earlier because we want them really brainwashed. We want to pre-K them, and then we're going to kindergarten, and then we say they have to do 12 years of school. Because if they don't do 12, they're just never going to learn. And then we want to send them off to college for 4 years, and they're going to get a degree. And that's the way the system is, right? Okay? Then we have the Amish community. The Amish community they get of age where they can go to school and understand on their own. They go to school, and they go to 8 years. 8th grade. Then they go to work. Per capita, they have more millionaires in their community than the United States and the other system ever dreamed about. And we'd say it ourselves. If they only go to 8th grade, they're a failure. You know why? Because the world said that. They're failures. And we feed it to them, the same thing. How many get my point here? When are we, as God-following people, are going to realize that we have accepted a mark already? We're marked by that system, and you got to break free from that. We can't keep doing it. It's nonsense to God. I want to do something for you, but look at you. At one side of our mouth, we shout, Yahweh, hallelujah. And then we follow in the system that somebody else put in place. And let me tell you, that somebody else, just so everybody's clear, is not just people. It's led by those who live off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's not to help you. It's Hasatan himself to destroy you and completely remove you from the things of God. And that's what's happening over and over. Listen, this is what's coming. So you know. So you're aware. It's happening in Europe. As you start seeing things happening in Europe, get ready, it's going to happen in the United States, because that's pretty much how everything's been since the time that we took notes in history. What's going to happen, it won't be long, that you're already forced to do all sorts of things. But let me just, so parents understand this, especially with young ones. Now, it's going to be common for transgender to have 4 and 5 year olds in the library, and they're going to be able to read transgender books. They're already doing it, but it's going to be more common to them, and give them the right to choose. So we can't use the pronouns anymore, he and she. That's out. And that's the system that we get our little ones up sent to every day. But I'm not doing it. I'm just telling you, you get to sort this out with God. I'm giving you the facts. That's what you're doing. Well, what are we going to do? Pray in that line over here. Do something about it. We've all been there where we had to do something at some point in our life, and we worked very hard at doing it, and we got it done. Well, you know what? It ought to be worth it to you. And you ought to look at it. You got the one shot with them. And we have lost many of them. Thank God for His grace. I've been through that system. I've been through that system where I felt I had to do this, and I felt I had to do that. And it's not like my parents were telling me this. I felt that pressure. You got to do this. If you don't do it, you're a nobody. You're useless. Now I'm telling, encouraging people, do you really need to do that, or do you need to really say, God, what do you want me to do? Especially if you're the generation to usher in the Messiah. Prove what is good, and what's the next word? Acceptable. Acceptable. How can you prove what's good, and how can you prove what's acceptable? And how many ready for the next word? Perfect. Will of Elohim. It's impossible to do it until the transformation happens. Impossible. I know this is tough. And I don't know how many of pastors would preach this in their services. But I'm afraid to tell you there wouldn't be many doing it. It could be a mass exodus out there building, looking for somebody to tell me. I don't want to hear all that. I just want to go to church, tell me Jesus loves me. And I want my kids to be in a good children's program. And that's exact. So church is nothing but a different title on the same social program that you're involved in on a daily basis. And there's nothing to combat that. What's going to happen? You're going to succumb to the very conquering power that inserts itself at the coming right before Messiah. Who comes before Messiah? The Antichrist. The lookalike. The one to make you believe I got all the answers, who perform miracles. There'll be miracles, healings, powerful things that happen, supernatural things that happen. People are going to run like crazy to these events. And if you don't know better, you give everything to them because it looks so real. How many want to know the difference? We got to get transformed. We got this is serious. You know, we talk sometime about this in a very superficial way. I hope today that you see this is by no means superficial. This is getting down to the heart of the matter. This is as real as it gets. And so he wants that. I believe this transformation is basic to our life and growth in Messiah. In a sense, this transformation is part of the way we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Our old self passes away, and we become a new creation. Now, how many know that we accept that by faith? We were doing things we were doing before, and we became a new creation. And that's the reason God allows that to happen instantaneously, as far as your faith believing that you're now a servant of the Most High, is because without that, it'd be impossible to transform anybody. But how many know when you got saved, you brought your little saved self to the little saved meeting the next day, and you still had that unsaved brain? And what you got to do? You go in the Word and you start reading. This is contrary to what I've been taught all my life. It's contrary to what I've been led to believe. And you get the washing of water by the Word. Your brain starts getting renewed, changed, renewing the mind. That's what has to happen. Is it to happen instantaneously? It doesn't. What happens instantaneously is that you're now understanding what it means to be born again in faith. That's why without faith you can't please God. It takes faith to believe. So you got that. Ultimately, it's going to come to its complete fruition at His coming. The dead raise, the live and remain change. And we go from one state of being to a different state of being. We step out of the mortal into the immortality. Very important. So I hope that you'll see these things and start working on them. So we die to Yeshua, and Yeshua lives in us. We put off the old self and put on a new self created in the image of Yahweh. It is only as we sacrifice the old that we can put on the new. I mean, you see that. So number five, then you will test and prove Elohim's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here Paul makes the sequence absolutely clear. Then you will be able to test. He is saying that it is only after we have done two things. What do we got to do? Sacrifice our bodies to Christ and be transformed by renewing our mind that we can test and prove God's perfect will for our lives. I would go a step further and say that it's only after we have done these things that we can be sure that we know His perfect will for our lives. I was using this again as an example, just so you know. We can come to church all our lives, be involved in church, and be, on all accounts, Christians. Yet still heavily steeped in the ideas that God never instituted. You ever wondered, how is that possible? Because the deception is real. Satan don't care if you go to church. He loves that you go to church. He don't care that you get your kids in Sunday school. He wants you to do that. But he's against what I'm saying today. He's against you being here. He don't want you here. Because he knows you're going to hear the truth of what God requires of us. He's absolutely against it. It's challenging. How many have been challenged today already? It's very challenging. You're going to go home and say, what do I do? I can tell you, I'd get in that line over here, and I put some 8 hours in so you can get the gain. But don't go, just give it to me. Don't get in that line. I know that's the one we want to be in. We do. We don't want to do anything that we got to work for. We want it given to us. That's the system of the world. That's what he wants you to believe. Let me tell you, we have all sorts of systems set up. Why did you think that Monsanto was instituted and funded heavily to the tune of billions of dollars to do anything they want, run any tests, open all these environmental things and be able to have all these labs to create whatever they want, and they're giving more patents when it comes to agriculture than anybody on this planet? How many can see that? Well, the reason is because they're going to own everything. They're going to own every single thing. They're not going to be anything that they won't own. So what are we going to do? Trust God. We're going to trust God. Now, let me give you an example. I just said the word planet. How many heard when I said that? I couldn't hardly get it out of my mouth. I kind of fumbled it a little bit. How many heard that? You know why we say that? Brainwashed. That's why we say that. Because we don't understand God's creation. And we're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. We know nothing about it. Nothing about it. How many want to know what God thinks about it? How many really want to know what God says about it? Be here Sunday. I'm going to start on Sunday, Genesis. I want our kids here. Bring all the school kids, everybody. Bring them. So the kids can learn the truth. They've been lied to. All their lives been lied to. We ought to at least arm them with truth if we're going to put them out there. At least, minimum. Right? You know, it'd be sad. You know, you get your son and say, son, I want you to go out and you're gonna encounter the bear. It's going to be a vicious bear. And I want you to go out and get him. Can I have a... No, just go. Well, what am I fighting with? I don't know. Just go. Who does that to the son? Who does that to the son? You don't do that to the son. So let me tell you an example in the scripture. Jesse says to David, son, you're going to be out there and you're going to encounter probably the bear and the lion. But you see this slingshot? I'm going to show you how to use it. And you see these verses of scripture in Torah? You remember these verses of scripture in Torah, all these verses, because the power of God will come on you. As much as I can show you with this, can't even compare when the anointing comes on you with it, it's going to be supernaturally fast. It's going to be powerful. So what does David say? He says, he's out there. You know, he's whistling and singing what he always did and concentrating on Torah and practicing. It's what his dad taught him. You know why? He sent him out where they had bears and lions. His dad sent him there, but he didn't send him without preparing him. Sure. And what happens? That day came. Mm-hmm. The day came, and the bear showed up. Did he succumb to fear? Did he become a bear? You know, stories they tell today. It would have been nice. You know, the end of the story. He and David became a bear. You know, he's just a bear now, living in bear world. He said, I know exactly what you're trying to do. And he took care of the bear. And then a lion shows up. Did he become a lion? No. He snatched him up by the beard. That's getting close. That's close quarter fighting, if you don't realize that. If I snatched Brother Josh by the beard right now, it would be funny, wouldn't it? But I'd have to be close to do it. I mean, I can't even get it. I'm close now. I don't want to be this close to a lion. And I can't reach the beard. Close. No fear. Prepared. You know what we do? Cornflakes. Put that Monsanto in them. My kids like them. Boom. Pump them up really good with GMOs. Bring them, put them in an environment where they got bears and lions and no, not even equipped whatsoever. And you expect. What are you expecting? Do you think maybe we need to get in this line and say, God, give us wisdom, understanding? How many days we got left? Who's got children? Who's got children in school? How many days we got left? 7 days. Is it? Well, I'd get in that line over here. And I'd say, God, give me wisdom, understanding. I want to make sure I'm doing what's right. How many ready to prove and test? What is that perfect will of God? Now, offering ourselves as a sacrifice, let us now explore what it means to offer ourselves as a sacrifice and how we can do it. Number one, in one sense, we have nothing to offer. Everything belongs to God. We have nothing to give. We have nothing that we can call our own. This is ultimately the spiritual reality. But in the other sense, we do have something to offer in worldly material terms, as we have certain exclusive rights to various things. We can exclude any other human from them. We also have something we call ourselves. which we will not allow others to invade apart from God. This self, shabby as it may be, is our most precious possession. So we do have to be willing to give up something that we have considered of great importance. Number two, there is another sense in which we offer there is another sense in which what we offer is not a sacrifice, because what Elohim gives us in return is far greater than what we have given up. Yeshua used two images of a man who found a great treasure buried in a field and of another man who found a pearl of great price, the most wonderful jewel imaginable. Matthew 13, 44 and 46, these two go together. And let's look at this parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man had found, he hid, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all and had that he had and bought it. Let me see that. In each case, he sold everything he had to acquire the treasure. Yeshua said the first man did this in his joy. I think we can assume the second man did so also. We too can find joy in sacrifice that Romans 12:1 calls on us to make. In some cases, however, it may seem like a sacrifice at the time, and joy does not come until later. And so understand that. And that's one of the things about the kingdom of God. And so, in some case, however, it may seem like a sacrifice at the time, but joy does not come until later. At any rate, I shall, as Paul did, refer to it as a sacrifice, because that's what it is. So I want you to understand how important these principles are. Now, I left Romans 6, 16 through 22 to be read, and we're going to close with this. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 22 says this: Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But Elohim be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, what's the condition to be free from that? Obeying that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. You got to obey that. So there's a different rule. You already got the other, and you obeyed that. We all obeyed it. We obey something different. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants of uncleanness and to inquire unto iniquity and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield yourself members servants of righteousness unto holiness. I mean, you see that. So can I do it? Well, of course he says you can. I know what I said today is very challenging, but can you do it? Can you possibly do it in this life? Well, absolutely you can. We see things too difficult. We say, well, God will just sort it out. Do you really want God to sort it out at the end? Is that what you want? Let him sort it out? What about us taking... So you just dump the whole responsibility on God. I'll train them up, teach them whatever they can learn. They're going to learn it, whatever. And God, you sort it out later. That's not the position you want to take with God. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The end of those things is death. Now watch this. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to Elohim, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is what? Everlasting life. How many want that? That's the goal. Everlasting life. So let me tell you, I know today has been a challenging time. I wish I would have... Listen, I'm here to yield to the Spirit of the Lord. If I'd have had any indication that I would go down the path I did today, referring to this particular verse, I would have made more slides to go with that. But I had no indication whatsoever. So I take it as that's exactly what the Lord wanted everybody to hear today. This is serious business. Now we're getting into critical time. Critical time. You will make decisions. I'm talking to parents here that have children. You will make decisions. If your children aren't grown, and they're on their own, they make their own decisions. They decide for themselves. But if they're not grown, you're going to still be, even though they're grown enough to make a decision to serve the Lord, maybe they're not grown enough to be on their own and make critical decisions, but you're making them for them. If you're here today, you're making decisions for your children. That's what you do on a daily basis. You tell them to go to bed. You tell them to wake up. You tell them it's time to eat. You tell them to go to school. You tell them to come back from school. All right? All these things, you're making those decisions. Well, let me tell you, if that's you, you better take some time to get in that line over here where you got to take some time before you get the answer. The pay is not, it's the answer you're gaining. You want the answer. What do I do? Take some time to do that. It's going to be critical. And I thank God for whatever reason he had me say that. That's up to the Lord and up to you. You know it. You needed to hear it. And it was, again, I'll say it again, it was the furthest thing from my mind, but that's the way it came out. So you got to receive that from the Lord and deal with that on your own. I want to tell you this to the rest of the church. Listen to me careful. We are the generation that's going to usher in the return of Messiah. Think about that. Does that mean we have a long time? No. If we're it, we don't have a long time. Now, two things happen to people when you talk like this. Fear or excitement. Because then you start looking at everything that you got. Well, what am I going to do? What about the plans that... Well, ask God. Why don't you go ask God? Because obviously, we haven't... We think, well, you know, I prayed about it, and this is what I feel I need to do. I'd put some question on your praying about it. People think this is praying about it. Well, Lord, what you want me to do? Okay, that's what I was thinking too. Because if you want something bad enough, you'll feel good about it just because you feel good about it before you even ask. But praying about it means you take your mind, you pray about it and give it to the Lord. Take your mind off of it. Get busy doing something else for the Lord and let God get back to you on that particular thing. And he may use it various ways. He may use a dream. He may use another person. But we don't want to give God room to have nobody come tell us anything. It may be the next service you get there and what you've been questioning, the pastor gets up and talks about it. That's your answer. But if you come with your answer, it could be God just waiting for that moment that you stop enough where he can say, hey, you need to think about this. Let me just tell you on my end, everything that I've sought to do and I went to the Lord for concerning a long-term future, not short-term, but long-term. For me, every time the Lord says you'll have no need of that. That's been my experience, and I mulled over that this week like you wouldn't imagine. And I'm telling you, we got to be ready. You need to be here Sunday. Because I'm going to lay out, we are going to get from underneath the mark. You say, man, we've done all kind of stuff already. Listen, just doing some things don't qualify you from being free from the mark. I want to be completely from underneath that nonsense, because it's what it is. It's nonsense, nothing but a brainwashed system. And God says, I freed you from that. There's no reason for you to, well, you put your faith in God. Just trust him with everything. Not in some system. And say, God, I'm going to put my faith in you. To the world, it's going to seem like nonsense, because they won't understand it. Remember, the natural man doesn't know the things of God. That's what he says. They don't know why. That's why we got to be changed. We got to go through that change because we won't know the things of God. It's going to seem like nonsense to you. Why do we have to do that? You know why? Because we've been told This is what you got to do. So I hope that you understand that. I hope that you, your heart will grab hold to this, that you'll see it for yourself. Because let me say, as we stand in this place, every person is going to be accountable for their actions. Everyone. No matter what your parents are doing, you're going to be accountable for our actions, what we do, what we say, what we believe. Take some time with God. Say this week, I'm going to spend time with God leading up to the service. And purposefully say, Lord, I don't want this in my way. I don't want that in my way. I don't want to be sidetracked. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to, you know. Chad asked me yesterday a question about something. I said, really? I can't even tell you because I'm not fooling with that right now because I'm studying. I don't want any distraction about it. And so there, you can always tell what distracts you. And whatever it is, the Lord will let you know. And you say, don't be distracted with that. It doesn't mean it's wrong, but it's a distraction to me. And so you, if you're not giving anything up, you're kidding yourself is what it is. Because nobody can get locked in with God and really study and find if they haven't given anything up in their life that are distractions. You're going to give something up. Some time that you give to something else, you got to give that up because there's no way you can hear from the Lord. If you think you can work God in, not going to happen. You don't work God in. You don't get kind of worked into the busy schedule. We have to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that because I need to hear from the Lord. I really need to hear from the Lord. I really need to hear. And that's what it'll do. He'll do it for you every time. Not sometimes. Every time he'll do it for you. And so my prayer is that we'll be committed to the Lord in such a way. That's why we'll be hitting the pause button in this particular series so you'll not see these slides come up for a while, this presentation. But we're going to go back to this part. Is the world that I know, as I know it, real? Is the world as I know it real? I mean, use that backdrop, and it'll be different. There's so many things. There's hundreds of scripture in it already. There's going to be plenty of scripture. I'm going to give you the Bible scriptures of what God says he's done, what he expects of us, and if we don't fall within that group, then how in the world can we say we're committed to him? We're really going to follow him. Because let me tell you, following the Lord nowadays is not real much change at all. You can find, if you really want looking for a spot where you don't have to do nothing but just show up, you can find that church. You can find it. But if you really want to be committed to the Lord, it's going to be some changes have to take place in our life. We're really going to have to make change. Because I want to know. I'm going to tell you what I don't want. I don't want to be in no tribulation time trying to figure things out. I believe God's going to tell us what to do, when to do it, how to do it. He's going to give us, it's going to be amazing how much wisdom you'll have and how much understanding. You don't have to fear. Because it's going to be a fearful time. The world's going to go into an amazing deep end. When we traveled just recently, we traveled and we was in different places, in different parts of the country. I could tell you. I sensed it in several different places, very, very strong. I sensed the chaotic, overwhelming disaster. I don't know what words to put. I'm talking about just a complete catastrophic disaster of what's going to come on people, and they have no idea how to handle it. Because they are so busy, locked in themselves. Looks like just people just completely brainwashed. And that's exactly where the devil wants you. He wants you to get in that system. And you can also be in that same system when it comes to church. You can set yourself up doing that where you say, well, I got Thursday night Bible study, I got Saturday night Torah portion, I got Sunday morning church, and you could get in the same system. And it's no different. You can't Christian veneer this thing and not be under that same sin. You can get that same habit, which just that's what you do. And you can do all that with no relationship. I'm not interested in you attending all those events. I'd love to have everybody. I'm interested in what you're doing when you're home and what you're praying about, what you're seeking God about, what you're letting God do for you. That's what my interest is. That's why I share the word the way I do to you. I'd love to have all that, but we're not here to get a big number, so the offering's different. I grew up in that all my life. I got so tired of seeing that behavior. We can't miss Sunday night service. We won't be able to pick the offering up. I've had ministers tell me that directly to my face when I was visiting their church. And I'm like, serious? This is absolutely crazy. This is no different. Oh, so now we say amen and everything's cool with God? It's a world system. It's not how to behave. You don't have to worry about what offering comes in. You do what God told you to do. You're not trying to protect the people. You won't say certain things because you don't want somebody to get mad and leave. And you know they're a contributor. Is that what that's what happens all the time in church. It's a system from the world. Do you understand that? Very important. Listen, I purposefully don't know nothing on purpose. If you think I know what you do and what you give here, I have no clue at all. I don't want to know. It's none of my business. Because if God can't tell me what to preach, I don't need to know about your life so I can figure it out. So I have no idea who does what. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. And I don't ask questions. I just thought I'd tell you that. So if you think that I'm heavily involved in it, I have no clue. Don't want to know. Because I depend on God to give me the message. So if you hear it from the Lord, if you hear my message, you can believe it's because, and if it deals on that particular subject, you can believe the Lord's reaching out to you. No different than what he did today. So am I excited? You better believe I am. Am I happy that we're going to be the generation to usher in the second coming? You got it. I'm excited, thrilled about it. And it's, and you know, most people talk that way because they don't have a whole lot already. They figure God come back and be the greatest thing in the world. But some people, you know, he wants some people to, some people, you might have some things and you're excited and you got things looking up. None of that matters. When you could tell God, Lord, I don't care. You think I care? I don't care about none of that stuff. What I want is you. You're the most important thing in my life. That's the relationship building. That's what we need to do on a continual basis. So I pray that you do that. Take some time this week. Come prepared. I'm going to read the text, and I want everybody to work with me. I want you to post what I preach on Sunday to as many people as you possibly can. Now, I've held back for a while, and I know some of you say, wow, if what we've been going through for the last 3-4 years is holding back, we might want to come brace ourselves. Well, the reason I say that, because I haven't been publicly and adamantly trying to tell anybody else about it. I've had private conversations here and there, but this is it. I'm going to read the scripture, and it's going to say what it says. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow that, whatever people think or not. Doesn't make no difference. And I've been cautious simply because I felt like the Lord was telling me, you do what I ask you to do, how I want you to do it, and when that time is time. Well, guess what? It's time. It's time. And so we're going to lay it out. So I want the kids that have come here on Sunday, I want you to be, don't be ashamed. Just go back and repeat everything I said. Y'all ready for that? It's going to be crazy. They're going to be looked at like they're lost their mind. But it's what the Word says. And either we're going to go with that or we won't go with anything. So this, let me tell you what this is. This is this church. Everybody say this church. This is this church. This is our time to do what God wants us to do. Without hesitation, without holding back, if that's what we really believe. And so we'll lay it out for you. It's going to reveal the Word of God, what it says, and we're going to believe that with everything that's in us. So I hope that you'll see that, come to those conclusions, and not be ashamed of it. Be proud. So we're going to ask you to do that. I'm not good at any of that stuff. But I know you're good at it. Put it out there. This is what the pastor preached. This is what he's talking about. And let's let the Lord work it from there. But we don't want to embarrass in any way God. In any way do we want God to take any reproach of us not seeing the scripture for what it is. And I believe that's what we've done over the years. We haven't said it like he says it. We're going to say it like he says it. Amen? So, be here on Sunday. We'll start down that path, and I'm not sure how long it's going to take us. I'm sure we'll be doing it up until the Passover time. I mean, the Feast of Trumpets. So how many know when the Feast of Trumpets is? September? Any dates? 19? 20? Prepare for it. It's a time to prepare for it. Start preparing for it. It's going to be something. We ought to prepare for it like this is the time that God's given us to get ready. This is the time he's preparing us for. So is the Lord going to return on the 19th? Well, how do we know? Who went through the tribulation yet? There you go. I know that won't fly in most places, but I'm just letting you know. So if you want to know how service is going to be Sunday, it's going to be like that. Okay? So it's exciting. This is the year. It's incredible times that happen. I love you. I thank God for you. I appreciate all of you for being here.